Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. This morning, I'm concluding my series on the five C's of the church, and today is about competencies. In other words, the skills that we're given. Justin talked about that in the children's message. We have a very talented congregation, so this should be easy, shouldn't it? The focus of my message is on these words from Paul to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Let all things be done for building up. Let all things be done for building up. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Henry Blackaby encourages in his book, Spiritual Leadership, encourages Christians to think of themselves as an 18th century captain of a sailboat. Maybe that's a dream of yours, to be a captain of a sailboat in the 18th century. I want you to imagine that that's the role that you play here this morning at Peace. As captain, you have experience. You've been out on the open waters, and you know how things work, and you can almost anticipate where the land's going to be as you come up upon it. But you have a crew that you're working with that has never been out on the waters, and they're amateurs, and they mess things up all the time. You don't like it when people mess things up. You have experience as the captain. One of the crew members on the ship shouts out, "Land ho over there," off on the horizon. But as you look out on the horizon, it's just nothing more than vapors rising up the ocean from the sun beating down on the waves. Another inexperienced crew member cries out, "Land over there, right in that direction." But when you look, it's a pod of whales spouting up water. They got it wrong. You, however, see a familiar sight off in the distance. It's a slight bump on the horizon. You know what it is. Because of your years of experience and the skill that you have, you know that what you see out on the horizon is land. Here's what separated great captains from average captains in the 17th and the 18th century. A great captain would never do something like this. He'd never chastise his crewmates for the mistakes that they made and say, "You're an amateur. You've never been out on the ocean waves. You should just listen to everything that I say." A great captain would never do that. A great captain would also never take the reins and say, "Trust my eyesight. Everyone, I'm in charge of looking for the land. Follow my direction." No. A great captain, sea captain in the 18th century, did this. They knew they had the skill and the experience, but they poured themselves out into their crew and built them up, encouraged them. And that was a benefit to the captain, actually, because the next time that they went out onto the ocean and to different places on the seas, they could sit back underneath the deck and they could relax and put their feet up and trust the crew because they had gained an experience, knowledge, and skill to look for land out on the horizon. Dear friends, the Apostle Paul came upon a congregation in which he saw a ton of skill. Massive skill. And he said these words to this congregation. The congregation was in Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul says, "Let everything that you do be for building up." As Paul looked out on the congregation, back over in this section, right by Joe Payne, he saw in Corinth, sorry to put you on the spot, Joe, I know you don't mind though. Paul saw people who were able to speak in tongues. And boy, were they awesome at that. They spoke in tongues in different dialects, and they were powerful, and they had great skills. Then right up here, as Paul looked out in Corinth, he saw great singers. They could sing hymns. We got some great singers right over here in this section. When they sang, everybody listened. When Paul looked out over here, he saw people who could give great revelations and teachings and commentary. And it makes a lot of sense as I look out over here with the skills gathered here at Peace. But here's the problem when Paul looked out at Corinth. When he saw all these people, he saw that they had skills and competencies, But they failed to build up others. They built up themselves and their skills. Whenever those people who could speak in tongues spoke, it was very difficult for others to join in and speak tongues. No, everyone listened to that group over there. When the singers sang in Corinth, everyone listened, but very few people were ushered in and invited to join that group. And when the speakers and those who could give revelation from the scriptures spoke, everyone listened, but no one was really allowed to join that group and use their skill. What should have been a gold star congregation was a disaster. And in 80 years, the Church of Corinth was gone. Dear friends, when the scriptures speak about competencies and skills, it doesn't so much say to build up your own skills and competencies. The scriptures say to build and use your skills to build up others, to encourage, to pour yourself out onto the crew so that they can develop skills and they can make the decisions. You know, most scholars will say that one of the major challenges in the Bible happens when the Israelites get a king. It is described in 1 Samuel. It's a disaster because God says you don't want a king because you're going to have to be dependent upon him. You're going to have to pay taxes and listen to everything that the king says. Getting a king could have been avoided for the Israelites, but it became a challenging circumstance because there was one man who had all the skill in Israel. He's described as godlike. No one could find fault with him. His name is Samuel. When he was a young boy, God talked to him in the temple. When Samuel grew up, everyone listened to him. There was no one who could find fault with Samuel in Israel. Here was the problem with Samuel. It was terrible. He never poured himself out into his sons. Both sons cheated and took bribes. And because they did that, Israel asked for a king. If Samuel would have poured himself out and built skills and competencies in his children, the story of the Old Testament would have been completely different. Thinking about Samuel, I want you to think about a second Samuel who did it right, Jesus. When Jesus came to this earth, he had talents and abilities. The Bible says, actually, when he was 12 years old, he got into the temple and he read from Isaiah, and everyone saw that he had power and authority unlike anyone else. Then when he became 30 years old, and he entered into public ministry, Jesus was given the opportunity to build himself up with more competencies and skills. When Satan took him in the wilderness and said, "You can have it all, Jesus. I'll give you all the power and authority you want, more skills than anybody else." Jesus was different than Samuel, friends. At 30 years of age, he decided to spend 3 years with 12 people to build them up, build their skills so that they could bring God's kingdom into the world. And as a great captain, when those disciples goofed up and made predictions out on the horizon, Jesus never chastised them. And as a great captain, Jesus never took the reins from them and said, "I'm going to make the decisions." Jesus stood by their side, built them up, and prayed for them in his high priestly prayer, John chapter 17. "Father, I thank you for protecting them, and I pray that you'd continue to protect them." And then Jesus would say this, "They will do greater things than what I have done." John chapter 14. Dear friends, here at Peace, Jesus is the leader. But he doesn't lead just so that he has all the skill. He pours himself out upon you so that you can work in his kingdom. Jesus is the opposite of Samuel. There's a story told about General George Marshall. He was a general in the United States. And he carried around a black book. It was a funny story that was passed around among people, but it was true. He carried a black book. And he did so that whenever he caught someone doing something well, or he saw someone that had a skill, he'd open his black book up at a young age, and he'd write their name down. Marshall did this so that later in his life, when he became general, he could pull that black book back out, and he placed the best that he remembered, those who had skills and talents and positions, and he had an amazing staff in the military, great organization, all because of that little black book. You know, sometimes I think Jesus does that with us. He doesn't just keep track of the sins and mistakes, but he sees you with the skills that you have. He writes them down, and at just the right moment, he opens it up and says, "Whatever, wherever you're at, you can serve me. Go and serve me. I'm placing you there for a reason." Dear friends, as we close out the five C's in church of what it means to be a healthy church and a healthy Christian, competencies, we want to do more than just think about a skill that we can develop more in ourselves. Let's go deeper than that. Here's my challenge. I want each one of us to think of someone that has a skill or a talent. They may not be as good as you, as what you have, or the way you see your skills and talents should work. How can you pour yourself into that person? When they make a mistake, how can you pull back from jumping in and telling them the way that it should be? When they make a mistake, how can you pull back from grabbing the reins and saying, "I'm going to do that"? How can you pour yourself into another person and build them up? When the church does that, powerful things happen. Things get done. Nobody can take the credit, and God goes to work. May God do that here at Peace, and may God continue to do that through his people here at Peace in the future. Let's pray about that this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the gifts and talents at Peace Lutheran Church. So many, and we've heard them here this morning in our children's voices, in our Bible study, in our time together as we've sung hymns. Lord, help us to use our competencies and skills to build others up, to live in a different way than what we see in this world. And that way, your will may be done in this community and on this earth. In Jesus' name, amen.